from Novara Media. It's a left-wing media outlet. Doing it right, sex on the left. So monogamy is cool, actually. So this is the world we're in. Leftists have deconstructed the relationship. They have deconstructed Western society. They have destroyed all traditions to the point where these are not the status quo anymore. Monogamy is not the status quo. Monogamy is not the tradition anymore. Now, hedonism and being promiscuous and polyamory, that's now the tradition. That's now the new paradigm. That is the new normal. And it has become so ingrained in modern day culture and people's view of things that monogamy is seen as some kind of weird outside idea, the same way that swinging was back in the late 50s, early 60s. Yeah, what a weird idea. Who's doing that? That's so bizarre. And what's the left doing now? They're trying to bring back monogamy. Monogamy is cool, actually. Call me a trad wife, but polyamory isn't praxis. What the fuck does that mean? Praxis. Cool? Is that what the young people are trying to do these days? Sound cool? Use words like praxis. It ain't praxis. Is that another word for cool? Acceptable? I don't know. I have no idea. Anyway, here we are. We're coming full circle. We're coming full circle. You want to know why this is happening? You see, socialism, communism, Marxism. You go from Marxism to socialism to communism. Communism is the end desired result. We're there. We're there in America. The only thing standing in the way of the commie pinko scumbags in regards to total, complete, totalitarian takeover of America is that constitution. That pesky constitution. We got to get rid of that. Now they're talking about that on news. CNN and MSNBC, they got these talking head show morons coming on, huh, talking about how the constitution is outdated and it's got to go. But otherwise, America is now a communist country. They've won. They feel they've won. So now they want to go back to traditionalism because they need stability. They need stability to bring in that tax cheddar, yo. You see, feminism, cultural Marxism, socialism, communism, you see, these are tools to break down and destroy a country. But once you've won and deconstructed and reconstructed, well, now you need stability. Now the rulers need stability. Monogamy. Oh, monogamy's back. Well, yeah. Now we need stability. We need a nice, stable tax base of productive citizens. Kind of hard to have that, you know, when we got all this polyamory, hedonistic crap going on, turning all the kids of these weird fucking gay bisexual couples raising kids, turning them into freaks, and these kids are growing up to be non-productive citizens who are studying lesbian dance theory and fucking gender studies, and they come out of university and they can't make anything. So, you know, yeah, we got to bring back monogamy. No, of course. Of course, that's the same way it happened in China. Same way it happened in China. But I think they're going to find that this isn't going to work. They let the genie out of the fucking bottle. They have unleashed the demon, the dragon, that is full-scale female liberation. Yeah, no barriers. No boundaries. Do whatever you want. Be whatever you want. Whenever you want. No consequences. You're not going to have a very easy time. Put that genie back in the bottle. In fact, you're not going to be able to do it at all. They did it in China. Social deconstruction. Get the women into the workplace. We need to double that tax base, yo. Yeah. And now what's happening? China's experiencing a sharp decline in population. They're trying to get these women to go back to traditionalism. It ain't working. They're fucked. Oh, yeah. Anyway, before I get into this story, I would like to ask those of you out there that like and appreciate the raw, red-pilled, in-your-face nature of my content to please go check out my website, therealistphilosopher.com. That is therealistphilosopher.com. You'll find a lot of useful and interesting media links in the upper right-hand corner. I suggest you follow me. I suggest you follow me at the very least on Facebook and Twitter so you can be kept abreast of any new content that I post. And at the bottom of my webpage, you are going to find 3 donation options. And I could really use your help in that regard so I can continue to produce raw red pill content to keep you informed, to keep you entertained. So go check it out, therealistphilosopher.com. That is therealistphilosopher.com. All right, let's get into this story. Monogamy is cool, actually. Yeah, yeah. And that was pretty much human history up until 60 years ago for 100,000 years, for a million years. Monogamy. That's what got us to where we are now. Well, where we were back in, say, 1955, and then 1960 rolled around, and, you know, social deconstructivists that got enough power in the country. Hey, it's time! Let's empower the waymen! Let's use the ideas intrinsic to cultural Marxism. Present them to women as true. Convince women that they've been oppressed and that the man is the oppressor. Break up the relationship so that the children that come out of this current generation that's fallen for this bullshit are mealy-mouthed, weak-minded worms that can be shaped and manipulated like fucking wet clay into whatever we want. But of course, those are not very productive people. Yeah, yeah. Doesn't mean they want somebody that can think for themselves, mind you, but, you know, the globalists, the global elite, they understand. If we want to have a productive tax base, if we want to eke out as much productive capability as possible from the sheeple, they need to be raised in a household with a mommy and a daddy. Something that we've been destroying for the past 60, 70 years, but now we got to bring it back, because we've won. We've turned America into a pinko commie shithole. Time to bring back the mommy and the daddy. All right, so what's the connection between politics and pleasure? You're kidding me, right? The politicians use your pleasure, use your addictions to control you by giving you what you want, by hooking you ever more on pleasurable pastimes and making you a slave to your appetites. And then that's how they manipulate you. It works pretty good. Is non-monogamy meant to be a political act? Absolutely. Practitioners often argue that relationships outside of monogamy are inherently subversive. Not only for committing the mortal sin of adultery, which you all love, but because the heterosexual couple is the first stage in the process of creating the patriarchal nuclear family. Boo! Hiss! Boo! Yeah, the patriarchal nuclear family. That's horrible. What do you want to supplant it with? The matriarchal one? Wouldn't that be just as bad? You're just switching the place of the oppressor. And if you're saying that a matriarchal monogamous relationship would somehow be better or acceptable where a patriarchal one would not, then you're automatically saying, you're not implying, you're saying that women are somehow better and more noble, which is total nonsense. Yeah. A basic cog in our oppressive system. Yeah. What about matriarchy? Would that be an oppressive cog too? Oh, of course not. Yeah, because women are easily bought for resources. Rejecting monogamy, they claim, must be an affront to the system. Yeah, what you want. Yeah, the system's evil. But wait, aren't you the system now? So by that very logic, you lefties are evil. Shut up! Stop telling people the truth, realist! If it's true that reorganizing our private relations can disrupt the injustice of the social and economic order... Oh, injustice, really? See, that's the whole goal. That's the whole goal, yo. And all of us progressives should be considering ethical non-monogamy as a form of praxis, right? But the poly proselytizers have got it backwards. Do they now? Yeah. Trying to reverse direction now and turn people back to traditionalism. Now that you've taught generations upon generations of women that monogamy is oppression and slavery... I don't think you can turn that back. It's not working in China. I lived there for 14 years, yo. The women there are as hedonistic as any other fucking country and getting them to settle down and have kids. It's not as difficult as it is in America because, you know, the Chinese Communist Party, they pushed more traditionalism than, say, America did during their cultural deconstruction and revolution. But still, women there are heavily feminist and becoming more so, not less. So I think good luck, especially when you've pushed the strong, independent women have been oppressed throughout history bullshit more in America than was pushed in China. So the surge of interest in non-monogamous relationships first has to be couched in the understanding that monogamy has only ever been a demand made of women. Really? No, that's a lie. What are you talking about? Women have had choices throughout history. They choose who they're going to marry. Oh, what about arranged marriages? Realist? Well, that was a different world. Different fucking world, okay? Women couldn't take care of themselves. Women couldn't stand on their own 2 feet. It was a much more brutal world back when arranged marriages occurred, okay? Yeah. In modern times, adultery and prostitution are spoken of as shameful secrets. Prostitution is spoken of as a shameful secret, really? I don't think so. Adultery? Only if a man does it. If a woman does it, she's strong and empowered. So I don't know what the fuck you're talking about. But for the Greeks, oh, don't get me started here, okay? And Romans, it was out in the open. You know what? Yeah, this stuff was heavily practiced, but so was monogamy, okay? Husbands were expected to engage in hetrism, the ancient mode of playing away with prostitutes, concubines, and slave women. I don't know that that was expected, all right? But their wives were not afforded the same sexual freedoms. You got to go back 2,000, 3,000 years to find examples that prove your narrative or that you think prove your narrative, really? Of course, yeah. Speculating on the evolution of marriage customs, Frederick Engels thought that monogamy emerged alongside... Engels? That was... Wasn't that Marx's buddy who was a big socialist? Marxist believer in socialism, big fan of fucking Marx, which is why he paid all his fucking bills. That's right. Marx lived off capitalism. Marx lived off his capital buddies. And by the way, Engels was a big giant capitalist. He owned multiple factories. He was a very successful businessman. And just one of his factories supported Marx, okay? 500 pounds a year or something going to Marx and his big fat ass. Have you seen pictures of Marx? He was not a lightweight, yo. He's a big, fat, boil-covered, slovenly slob. Yeah. Engels thought that monogamy emerged alongside slavery. Yeah. And private wealth. But he was a capitalist himself. He was rich. In order to procreate children whose fatherhood is indisputable. Well, the fathers did want to know who their kids were because, you know, they didn't want to be cuckolded and raising some other dude's bastard because it costs a lot of money to raise a fucking kid. You're not going to want to invest in something that you have no part in, that has none of your genetic makeup. I don't see any problem with that. Because children, as direct heirs, will one day enter into the possession of their father's goods. And, you know, that was a long fucking time ago when people had very little. Anyway, in making the connection, I mean, also, the man wanted to know the kid was his. In making the connection between monogamy and property, he proposed that monogamous marriage emerge alongside the beginning of class oppression. Oh, really? Yeah. Oh, because poor people had nothing to pass on? Okay. If they did, would you then be arguing that it's oppression for people to be able to pass on their wealth, their goods to the next generation? An era in which prosperity for the few would be won through the misery and frustration of the many. God, that nonsense argument. Okay, yeah. As economic models change, so did our idea of the ideal relationship. By the early 20th century, the monogamous family was the bedrock of the forced economy, with the archetypal husband going to work at a factory and coming home to his wife. Or working on a farm. That was the case for a couple thousand years. You don't want to talk about that, though, do you? It was too close. He was at home! whose cooking and cleaning was the unpaid, unrecognized work that enabled him to clock in on time every day. Yeah. And her so-called unpaid, unrecognized work allowed him to go to his job and do his unpaid, unrecognized work, because when they say unpaid, they mean you're not getting anything extra on top of your necessities paid for. I mean, what excess wealth did he have? He was paying rent. He's buying food, he's buying clothes, he didn't have any extra money. I don't get this. What do you mean unpaid? This always annoys me. I mean, the woman is getting all of her needs taken care of, all her clothes bought, and so is the man, and he doesn't have anything extra. What is this, such nonsense? I'm not going to get into this. It's not the point of the story. Anyway, this cozy setup had no appeal for Engels. Cozy setup for who? The man who went and slaved away for 16 hours and got black lung in mines, or the woman who was sitting there all day breastfeeding and essentially had to do no hard labor? Yeah. So the guy slaving away in a coal mine, that's cozy, I see. Who describes such Protestant monogamy as a conjugal partnership of leaden boredom known as domestic bliss. Yeah. When the era of picket fence Fordism was swept away by flexible production, the rise of global finance and the destruction of the unions, the monogamous nuclear family came under pressure. And that's because you wanted to destroy it. Because nuclear families produce mentally strong, capable individuals who can think for themselves, who are raised, who are produced, who are given their ideas and education by their parents, not by the state. Can't have that! Yeah. As women acquired new reproductive, workplace, and financial rights, women didn't acquire any new reproductive rights. They've always had the right to reproduce. Oh, you mean the freedom to kill their babies? Well, that's killing babies. That's not reproduction. That's deproductive. That's the opposite of production. That's destruction. You don't have that right. Workplace and financial. Okay, so women had freedom to get jobs in the past, but they needed to raise the next generations of kids, and we didn't have all this fake, this fiat currency floating around that enabled women to then live under this delusion that they could go out and work and society could continue plodding ever onwards without a parent to raise them. Yeah, let the state raise them. Yeah. How's that working out for production? Not so good, which is why you want to go back to the nuclear family. Monogamy! But you still want people to be libtards, right? Right? Yeah. Anyway, yeah, free agents. Engels also, Engels again. Yeah, you don't want to use Marx's name, do you? Yeah. Engels also predicted that in a communist society, see, I called it, when we are rid of all this anxiety about bequeathing and inheriting, because they think this is where privilege comes from, the ability to bequeath and inherit. When all that really means is that you, as a child, are benefiting from the graft of your parents and their good or bad choices. Privilege just comes from good choice making by parents. If your parents made bad choices, somehow, in some way, you're not supposed to suffer for that. So you don't have privilege. Meanwhile, these kids that are doing good, oh no, they've got privilege. Yeah, because their parents made good choices. That's all. That's all. Yeah. That's evil, apparently, if you're a commie. Yeah. Meanwhile, they want to be able to steal the wealth of people who make good choices. So they have no problem with the bequeathing and inheriting part. They just want to be the ones to get shit bequeathed to them and inherited by them, just not by family. They want to be that, the redistribution is societal. Yeah, not personal. Not family-based. No, because family's evil, right? Because it creates privilege! Because parents sometimes make good decisions. this is so dumb. Oh, boy. Yeah. People will be free to enter into any kind of relationship they want. Why? How would they be free to enter into any kind of relationship they want? Oh, because you've removed consequences of bad choice-making? Oh, I see. Because you can print money out of thin air? Yeah. They will care precious little what anybody today thinks they ought to do. Consequence-free behavior. How nice. Freedom is certainly one of the motivating principles of polyamory. Is that freedom, though? Is it really? Aren't you simply misunderstanding freedom and essentially labeling it wrong? I mean, is freedom really the ability to do anything you want? Or does freedom have to have some kind of boundaries and constraints for you to actually be free. Because if you are simply addicted to pleasure, if you are addicted to your appetites and those things control you, I don't know how free you can claim to be. But anyway, yeah, I'm my own person and no one owns me. Your appetites own you. People do own you. Sure. The state owns you through your appetites, through your hedonism, through your lack of self-control, which they have fostered and encouraged. I don't own any of you either. We're all free. That's a lie. You're the biggest slaves on the planet. You're the biggest slaves on the planet. You're enslaved to your fellow man, who you believe you exist for, who you exist to take care of and to keep. I'm my own brother's keeper. I'm my brother's keeper, remember? Isn't that right, commies, socialist, pinko scumbags? You're here to fulfill the needs of your fellow man. It would be selfish and horrible and evil if you were to live for yourself, right? You need to embrace self-sacrifice, which is at the heart of Engels and Marx's ideology. Altruism! Yeah. We're all free, explained one polyamorist in a Guardian profile in 2018. Their vision of individual freedom is well suited to a capitalist understanding of human beings as both autonomous, rational actors, and self-involved, pleasure-seeking consumers. Well, that right there is totally completely self-contradictory. That's a self-imploding statement if I ever seen one. What is this? Self-involved, rational people, but also pleasure-seeking consumers. I mean, if you're putting these together in a sentence to be defining qualities of life, then these counter each other. Because if you're about seeking pleasure, then you're controlled by your pursuit of pleasure, which does not serve your best interests. And if you were rational, you would understand that. You couldn't be rational if you believed that. Anyway, if you believe that seeking, basing your life on seeking pleasure is somehow conducive to well-being. Yeah. Anyway, think of polyamorous partners negotiating the terms of an open relationship. Two or more free and equal agents making a rational decision. It's irrational to begin with. There's nothing rational about polyamory. It doesn't serve your well-being. In response to the Guardian article, one reader wrote in to point out that all modern relationships, whether monogamous or polyamorous, are spoiled by the values currently celebrated in capitalist culture, narcissism and hedonism. Yeah, but that narcissism and hedonism doesn't come from, nor is it encouraged or celebrated, in a capitalist culture. By saying that, you are saying that capitalism creates narcissism and hedonism. You are directly misunderstanding what capitalism is. All capitalism is, it's just freedom in the realm of economic endeavor. To do what you want with your own property, to own private property, to have the ability and freedom to own the fruits of your labor. That's all capitalism is. It's literally freedom in the realm of economics. That's it! Oh, free! Freedom leads to narcissism and hedonism. No, real freedom does not. But leftist idea of freedom, do what thou wilt, well, that leads to narcissism and hedonism. Of course! So alternatives to individualism. Oh, wait a second, but you people do not push alternatives to individualism. You push radical individualism, which teaches that your thoughts, your feelings, your ideas are reality because there's no objective reality. For polyamory to offer a progressive alternative to traditional monogamy, it needs to be to propose an alternative to the individualism, which is both a bedrock of capitalism and its tragic effect.
God.
Oh, my Lord. Instead, it can end up doing the opposite, especially when polyamory is reduced to a badge on a dating profile or worse, used as a fig leaf for philandering tourists with no interest in deconstructing relationship norms. But you are the normal now. Don't we need to now deconstruct polyamory? No! Well, yes! But we're doing that now because we want to bring back monogamy. Now that we have destroyed the traditional culture that came about because of the self-control and the constraints and boundaries created by monogamous relationships, which created individuals, people who could think for themselves. So now we've created a bunch of sheeple. And now we want to bring them back into monogamous relationships, but monogamous relationships that serve our interests. Oh, I see. Yeah. And we'll, of course, have the added benefit of making people more productive and stable, and the culture and society itself also more stable. You know, the benefits of being in a polycule, this is some weird language, are often framed in utilitarian terms, where the ideal romantic arrangement produces the greatest happiness for the greatest number of people. I don't think you know what happiness is. Instead of seeking out one ideal partner, you relax your expectations and take the best bits from multiple partners. You mean like Mr. Potato Head? If your polycule provides you with hot sex with one person, intellectual sparring with another, and tell-all intimacy with a third, then congratulations, you grabbed the deal. Well, how is this? But you're saying you want to bring back monogamy. This isn't monogamy. In this bargain hunt, any product found to be defective can be easily exchanged for a better one. Oh, yeah, because people are just objects, right? Even though you're supposed to be against objectification. Yeah. This is this is so odd an article. This is a risk mitigation strategy, not a radical new version of love. Oh, okay. Far from being anti-capitalist, the way they use these terms, I mean, they have their own definitions, because they don't know what capitalism is. It's rooted in the same relentless pursuit. Oh, right, they believe that capitalism is oppressive. Yeah. It's rooted in the same relentless pursuit of pleasure that reduces us to consumers in every facet of life. But that's what you leftists talk about. What are you talking about? That's not any part of a traditional, normal, conservative, Western ideals. That's you guys. Get rid of all constraints, all boundaries, do whatever you want, no monogamy, polyamory. Oh, now you're trying to lay all that at the feet of conservatism and tradition? Really? Okay. In comparison, monogamy, with its emphasis on the boring work of compromise and coalition. Oh, really? Monogamy is boring work, compromise, and coalition. Is it now? You know, I had a very long-term relationship that lasted over 8 years. There wasn't a lot of compromise. We shared many of the same virtues. It just came that after all that time together, what we wanted changed, and what she thought she wanted, it changed. What I wanted stayed the same, but now we were no longer compatible. Well, at that time. And so we went our separate ways. But we didn't have to do too much compromising because we chose pretty well. Oh, my goodness. So that's a bunch of bullshit. Yeah. It starts to look like the more radical option. It might not have the sexy, slippery flexibility of the polycule, but the stolid monogamous unit has its own austere appeal. Oh, austere. Oh, really? Yeah, it's so lacking in all the frills and pleasures and shiny little beads and shit that attract dumb animals like crows and shit. Oh, yeah. That's austere. It signifies a commitment not just to the things you like about someone, but the things you don't like. All their annoying habits and the unfortunate traits, their needs and liabilities. Well, you know, if you have some actual, you know, self-knowledge, self-awareness, you're going to pick somebody that suits you. And the amount of, annoying little things about them, the differentiation is going to be far reduced. Anyway, that requires self-awareness, something these leftists don't really have. Otherwise, anybody writing this, the person wrote this or reading this would know that they're just projecting. Declaring your devotion to just one imperfect person is a refusal of the disposable attitude to relationships, which you people have been pushing for decades now. That doesn't mean subordinating yourself to someone else's demands or getting bogged down in abusive power dynamics yet, because, you know, men are always abusive, right? Yeah. But monogamy does suggest a dedication to something bigger than yourself, something known to be extremely difficult. Yeah. But haven't you been teaching up until now that extreme difficulty is a turn-off and that's bad? And you need to just seek out fun? Are you somehow saying that things that are difficult also represent an equivalent reward? Is that what you're saying? Nah, can't be. That sounds like a conservative talking. When a third of marriages end in divorce, no. 94% end in divorce within the first 10 years, okay? It's not a third. It takes a weird kind of zealotry to stroll up the aisle and promise to stay together. Yeah, they end in divorce because of you and your social deconstructivist bullshit. I love this. Oh, man. They declare themselves off the market. Yeah. In refusing other options, they acknowledge that love and care are impossible to calculate or price up. But that's what you've been doing. That's what you've been doing for decades and are often complicated by feelings of boredom, irritation, anger, and jealousy. The challenge is to stick rather than twist. Oh, really? Now you're telling people they should stick? Just as, this article, just as monogamous marriage came about as a reaction to emerging notions of property ownership, people have been able to own property for tens of thousands of years. The idea of property ownership has been around for millennia upon millennia. What do you mean, emerging notions of property ownership? Are you talking about emerging notions of women being able to own property? You know, they've been able to own property for centuries, yo. And by the way, both men and women, by and large, until America, didn't either of them have the ability to own property or to vote, for that matter. In America, what did men beat women to the ability to vote by, like, maybe 80 years or something? So the prospect of ethical non-monogamy arises in time for a new cohort of sexually liberated... What the fuck? Sexually liberated, economically independent consumers to take advantage of it. Isn't that another self-imploding statement? What do you mean, ethical non-monogamy? So the prospect of ethical non-monogamy arises in time for a new cohort of sexually liberated, economically... sexually liberated doesn't go with monogamy. Which leaves us with the question, what kind of sexual relations would emerge if capitalism was overthrown? What we have right now, capitalism doesn't exist in America anymore. We're now living in a communist country. You want to know what it's like to live in a communist country? You're living in it right now. America's a communist country. Communism is the centralized control of the economy. How many areas can you show me where the government doesn't have control? What areas can you show me where government doesn't have tons of regulations and controls and legislations that heavily restrict people's ability to interact with each other freely in an open market? Doesn't exist. We're living in a communist country right now, and it's going to get only worse and worse and worse as the government's control increases further and further. And you idiots out there gave it to them. Congratulations. Your fear of a non-existent virus, your fear of people breathing, you wanting to be taken care of and feel secure and safe rather than be free and responsible for your own safety and security. Yeah. Turns out freedom comes with a price. Taking care of yourself. Can't have that. Engels, whose own love life was certainly unconventional. Actually, Engels had a longtime girlfriend, lover, consort that was with him for decades and decades. Yeah, he wasn't married in the conventional sense, but he was in all but name. Yeah, and was very loyal to her. And he was destroyed when she died. Mm. And then Marx hit him up for some money, which nearly destroyed their relationship, because he hit Engels up for money right when she died. Marx! My longtime consort just died and you're asking me for money, you motherfucker! Yeah, of course. Yeah. Marx was an even bigger Marxist than you, Engels. Of course, he was Marx. Admits he has no idea. That will be answered when a new generation has grown up. They will make their own practice and their corresponding public opinion about the practice of each individual, and that will be the end of it. But the name of this article was that monogamy was cool, but you just spent the entirety of this article bad-mouthing monogamy, but then at the end, you tried to say it ought to come back, and sexually liberated people should embrace it. This is what they want to do. Now they want to bring back monogamy. Of course, because they've now destroyed Western civilization. It's gone. It's destroyed. It's wrecked. It's ruined. We got to build back better. Well, to build back better, you have to wreck what was there before. And they've done a very good job of that. So there you go. There you go. The left is trying to act like they invented monogamy. They created it. They discovered it. That is the new preferable alternative. Yeah, because it's better for the state. Because it turns out, you know, that In a country where only like 18% of the households have a mommy and daddy raising a kid, you get lots of crime, you get lots of poverty, you get lots of fucking homelessness, and you don't get too many people with useful, productive skills, so you have a lot less tax chattel, a lot more criminality, and it's a lot less stable. No, no, no! Now we have to create the new monogamy paradigm, yeah, that somehow suits leftists and progressives. Great, 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 great. So there you go. Yeah, the old normal is now the new normal, but of course it's going to have a twist. It's going to be a matriarchy now. You wait and see. The patriarchy becomes the matriarchy, which we all know is what has already occurred. Women are running things, not men. Now they need to make it official with the new improved monogamy, where the woman is going to run things, which is where we already are. But now they have to codify that into a new nuclear family and encourage people to get married again, just so long as the woman is running things. Yeah. And you know who's running the women? The state! So anyhow, let me know what you think of this article where the left is trying to bring back monogamy. Is this a good thing? Is this going to fix the world, or is this just going to make it worse? Newsflash, it's going to make it worse. Let me know in the comment section, and please like and subscribe to my BitChute channel if you have not already. That's where all my content eventually ends up. BitChute.com/TheRealistPhilosopher. That's BitChute.com/TheRealistPhilosopher. Go check it out.